Thank you, Jeanette, for that reading. I felt then the Holy Spirit take hold of those words and bring them to us. So let's just bow our heads to pray as we come to look at God's word together. In this very moment, Lord, we pray, come Holy Spirit of the living God, bring your word to life in our lives. You know our joys and sorrows, Father God, and we know that in Jesus he is an ever-present to help us and to guide us. So we cast ourselves upon you, O Lord, this day, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So let's have a look at Psalm 124, and you can find that on page 623. It's not a very long psalm, but it's a great one. And so let's do that. This is a song of hazard and of help. And it's one of the psalms that's called a psalm of ascent. And it's so called because apparently all roads to Jerusalem are uphill journeys. Now, you might know that. You might well have been there. I haven't. And the law of Moses, outlined in Exodus 23, instructed all men to go up to Jerusalem three times a year. And women and children often went as well. These poems, these psalms are, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, these poems are sung as they travel. They sang about their joys and their sorrows with a certain knowledge that God knew about them and cared about them. And just like the pilgrims of these psalms, we too, you and I, are pilgrim people heading for Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem promised in the book of Revelation on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the hymn, Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant, for me sums up what it is to be church. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers and sisters on the road. We are here to help each other, walk the mile, and bear the load. And you can imagine these dispersed people meeting up with each other on this road three times a year. And on that pilgrimage, their lives were bound together. And we can see what they sang about is not very different from our own experiences, sad experiences and glad experiences, as we journey to the New Jerusalem. So let's look at Psalm 124, which I've called The Joy of God's Steadfastness, a song of hazard and of help. And joy is at the heart of these psalms of ascent. And joy is a gift of God, as we were thinking about last time we looked at Psalm 123. The awareness and the appreciation of the presence of God's Spirit within us, deep within us, to bring us through times of darkness and times of difficulty. Happiness is elusive and largely depends on what happens. And joy can be the very opposite of that in the Christian life. So I've got two headings which I hope will be helpful. And the first covers verses 3 to 7. If the Lord had not been on our side, so first of all, personal danger. We live in a dangerous world. You don't need me to tell you that. And I recently read a travel book by Simon Reeve. You might well have seen his travel programs on the BBC. The book has a great title, and I love the titles, inspiring titles of some books. And this is what he called journeys to impossible places in life and every adventure. I like that. Journeys to impossible places in life and every adventure. No matter where he travels, his journeys reveal the underbelly of the country that he's visiting amidst the tourist attractions. So we see drug gangs, profiteers, corrupt police and politicians, and what really seems to me a genuine interest and concern for the people that live there, often poverty-stricken people. And I was interested that in his book, he made reference to many of his journeys through the lens of pilgrimage. He's not a man of any faith, but he nevertheless saw an intrinsic value to pilgrimage and was often deeply affected as he shared his life with his camera crew and the local people as he travelled, as well as his wife and his family at home. And his approach in this book spoke to me and had echoes of what it is for us to be church. So let's have a look at some of these personal dangers. Verse 3, have a look down at verse 3. It speaks of hostility and threat, the ground opening up to swallow us. Might be the earthquake, perhaps. The details are in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verses 31 to 33. Treating the Lord with contempt brought about such total disaster that God's obedient tribes feared the same fate would befall them, that the ground would literally swallow them up and all their possessions with them. Hostility and threat. Verses 4 and 5 speak of flood. Have a look at those verses. And it's interesting that in Palestine there are what are called winterborns, and it's a complex gravitational watering system of the desert. And the riverbeds that are full during the rainy seasons but completely dry at other times. And on occasions, unexpected heavy rainfall brought about the danger of flash floods, the dry riverbeds quickly becoming a raging torrent that would sweep away anyone and anything in its path. In the original Hebrew language, I'm told, here, raging is our translation for the word boiling, which I think is more descriptive, a swirling, destructive turbulence, if you like. So hostility and threat, flood. And verse 6 now speaks of menace, the savage beast with teeth to tear flesh and bone. I have such a fear of wild animals that I could never, ever think about going on a safari. It would not be something I could do. Again, the Hebrew language is blessed be rather than praise be. Blessed be, you see, is a worship expression. And this is important because when we worship, we recognize and we affirm the glories of our God, and that he has every right to rule in the world because he has created it. And he is mighty to bring you through any troubles. Menace. And verse 7 speaks of the cunning trap, well baited to lure away the unwary bird. David at this time was in fear of his life because Saul assumed David would be easy prey. Saul's troops were prowling around. David is looking back to the time that he was on the run. He was a fugitive. Poetically, David recalls the peril and danger that he was in. And as God's people, we need to be alert to the danger of being led astray. And sometimes the trap is plausible and appealing to the culture of the day. And it would be no surprise to any of us for me to say that the culture of the day is alive and kicking in the church. So that's my first heading, verses 3-7. If the Lord had not been our side, personal danger. And secondly, praise be that he is on our side. Praise be that he is on our side. And I've joined together verses 1, 2, and 8. They're such helpful verses, I think. David is encouraging God's people in worship. He is saying, come on, get behind this all together now. Yes, we live in a dangerous world, but we have no reason to be over anxious or paranoid. Someone once said, throw your problem at your faith and prove that the Lord is your help. I really like that. I find that really helpful. Cast your problem on your faith and prove that the Lord is your help. Sometimes you might feel that the issues we face are so contemporary that the Bible doesn't give us precise enough guidance. We need to be assured afresh that all we need to know has been made known to us, and that God's unchanging word will always address an ever-changing world. Why? Because our help is in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is significant. Whenever in the Bible we read of his name, it tells us who he is, who he came to save, who he has revealed himself to, his chosen people. In his Son Jesus Christ, he is our God, come what may, even to the very end. Just a thought or two on that lovely phrase, our help. God is our help. I was thinking recently about our king, and he's often been the subject of protests, hasn't he? Visible and loudly proclaiming people that say, he is not our king. And perhaps, maybe through experience, bitter experience, you perhaps feel that God has not been your help and you have stepped aside from him, that you may now say, well, he doesn't seem to be my God. And I have to say, it's a very acceptable position in today's society. It wouldn't trouble many people to say that he is not my God. So let us affirm in our worship today that God is our help and that he most definitely is on our side. Let me finish now by asking the question posed in our other Bible reading and taking the answer to our hearts and lives, both individually and as a church here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? No. Shall hardship? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I always reckon if it's good enough for St. Paul, then it's good enough for me. So let us affirm together as a church that we too, each one of us, are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that that is possible? If Jesus is your Lord, if he is, then this amazing, mind-boggling truth is yours for this morning and into eternity. And whatever you might be facing or will have to face in the future, Jesus will never, never leave your side if you belong to him. Yes, life will have its hazards, but yes, help is there, for our God reigns. Let's pray. In the hazards and difficulties that we are facing or we might have to face, you are on our side, Lord. How we bless you and thank you for that truth, that you are on our side. What more can we need, Lord? Help us in our struggles and share in our joys. For Jesus Christ's sake, we ask. Amen.